Division right.
Forgo the glory of the moment for the glory of the future.
Really sure they shall follow.
Well, do you have fun with those? Did anybody try some of the big ones there? Well, we'll see here. Okay. What was the first one I gave you? 129? Where are they?
We didn't get calls in 115.
Okay, 115.
And then it was Acts 13:1, 1 Timothy 3:16.
Right, Acts 13:1 and 1 Timothy 3:16. And, okay, Colossians 1:15, we'll start with that one then. Does anybody want to volunteer that one that has Eric? Kind of hard to take some of these verses because they're in the middle of a whole. Every verse in the Bible has a verb in it? Not overtly, I don't think. There'd be some that you have a pretty construction. You know, we got no verb. In other words, a pretty good object, a pretty good adjective construction. Probably don't have too many though that are simple enough to have only that. In other words, they probably have a subordinate clause with a verb in it.
I'm thinking that as long as any verb has a verb in it, you can get a verb.
Yeah. Even if it doesn't have one, you can put an X in there. Gotta have some. A lot of Hebrew Old Testament, you know, that if anything gets a predication set structure, won't have an overt verb. You know, he still gets the same connection. So I think by convention, normally, when you have a predicate situation like that, you usually tie it to the subject of it, which you call the subject of it, which is your relative pronoun. It would be the most definite of the two.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So I would put it with host, just because it's, you know, you're having to make the same kind of decision you're having to make when you're trying to decide which is the predicate nominative and which is the subject. Yeah. One more thing that on that prototokos there, on the modifiers, does anybody have any question there? Yes.
I put pastase modifying tissios.
Yes.
And then tissios modifying.
Same
with the two things.
Yeah, same thing.
Yes, right, same thing there too. In other words, the way you have it, Eric, is you've got prototokos is firstborn.
Yeah.
And you've got apostates modifying firstborn and catistos modifying firstborn, which means you have a firstborn of creation and then a firstborn all, you know. An all firstborn instead of an all creation. So just put, you know, in the first line, just put, you know, make a line and slant a line just like you did, put catistos, and then put apostates on another line under that, modifying the eye only. So when you use the common straight lines with shells on, you have both elements modifying the word above. And this way, you see. And then the same with the two side, you can just slide your two auras Aura 2 line over a little bit.
Yeah, I thought about that. I'll question it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Good.
So. I'm still not quite sure why that would better go in the front instead of the back, since it's really in opposition to the ankle.
Let me see here. Yeah, there's some room for debate on it. I think it's just
I put it there because I just thought of focusing on the eyes, but it was close to the ankle.
Yeah, you've got a point there, Eric, too. And just the way it's written, worded, word order isn't a critical factor, but it is interesting here. You know, you could almost do this. Another possibility here, too. Grasmick does it the way that we just said here, when the photo comes out in front of the post. But one could almost split your predicate nominative on a branch. You put acorn on one branch and prototokos on the other. The way it looks here. You don't really have a connector, so it has to be asyndetic. But it would perhaps be a possibility, too. And,
Can you cover that one?
Asyndetic without. You know, I think we might have mentioned it's just where you don't have a connector, but yeah, when you detect one. Yeah, I can see what Mark's point is here, too. It's just really debatable. Grasmick puts it this way, though, I'm sorry to miss this. I would probably, on the test, give you a credit both ways. Because it really is simply the fact that if you play a verb, you should have probably. Also here, if you didn't have the sentence isolated from the others, you know, the host there doesn't connect up. You step it out of line if you connect up to another relative pronoun in the previous verb, which connects to another noun in the previous verb before that, back up to the sun. And then your Eston there has a, in the next verse, OT and auto, ectisse and him were all created. So you've got a OT clause that would be connected up to Eston there. And another interesting construction. Verse 16 is one I should have given you. That one looks really good. Okay. Notice the word aoratu. We'll get a word eris. I.e. invisible, indefinite, you know, see the connection there. But as far as Mark's question, I guess I would probably have to say that it would be very difficult to be dogmatic which way you go. I think there's at least three possibilities. Splitting the line for your predicate nominative, considering prototokos, another predicate nominative with a colon, or putting prototokos in opposition to a colon, which is effectively does the same thing, or putting prototokos in opposition to hose. If it wasn't an equated verb, it'd be much easier. But I think, as far as I'm concerned, the conceptual connection is the same in all of those. There may be slightly different emphasis in different ones, and that's perhaps what you'd have to make the decision on the basis of is emphasis, I think. Okay, any other questions? All right, let's go ahead and do 129 next before we get into it. Pardon me. Anybody prepared for 129? Okay. Go ahead, man.
It looks like
the goodies are going to go. He'll leave the goodies for somebody else.
He'll probably be wrong anyway, but we'll shoot for it.
Well, it keeps us all humble with this shit.
Someone's more humble than us.
Thank you. comments, questions, disputes, or anything?
No.
Anybody?
Hey, first of all, the witch, the hole up there, put that accent, it's witch. That should have a dotted line going up to somewhere.
Yeah. I put a dotted line, I wasn't sure what to do with it.
It goes up to the previous verse, and, you know, it goes up to a whole clause in the previous verse.
Mm-hmm. Also, he's got kata and all the rest of that subordinate to ago and disomenos, which I thought it was subordinate to copio. In other words, that modifying copio directly instead of maybe
okay,
a dispute
well,
on that, so I don't know.
Well,
is he laboring according to, or is he struggling according to?
Mm-hmm.
See, it appears that he's laboring, and the struggling is type of some kind of laboring, and the struggling is modifying the laboring.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually, if you have it split up like this, it's kind of a parallelism type of structure. I'm laboring. And then to explain the laboring, it says struggling according to the operation is going to operate. You're more, most likely to be taken as modifying, I'll give him to someone else, but he got it.
Really?
Yeah, I think he would, because... word order is involved here, I think, because of the fact that this is a participle, I mean, it's someone else. And... it'd be funny to put the participle in between the verb if everything else is going to be stuck to the verb. Otherwise, it leaves your participle kind of dangling out in the. Then what do you do with the participle? Can we just hang over there? How did you digress the participle when you did that? Did you just.
Just underneath copio.
Okay. Just had two separate things underneath copio.
Mm-hmm. I think I would make a perpendicular line.
Yes. It is a participle, so it's partial verbal. And you don't need to use the X position on that participle because
you
don't need that. You would need it if it's an infinitive, you know, many times if there's a position, but partial verbal. Okay. John?
Down below, I see what he did. It was kind of asyndetic, like you were saying.
Yeah.
But you could probably do it the other way, too, where they put an apposition to each other in a sense. Gotcha.
Well, perhaps apposition, but there may be another element here that we need to consider, and that is, he says, you know, struggling according to operating or the energies, and his energizing or his operation, which operates within me mightily. And I think what you need is to have the participle. See, you've got a noun there, tain and again, and then you've got a participle that is attributed to the noun. What it looks like. See, that second one is a participle. And it's further in its accusative case, and it's tied right to the other. So I would make that attributed to that noun above.
Just kind of line coming straight down from
this one. In other words, instead of splitting that, you know, you just keep your line straight there after kata, ten energeon, and then drop a vertical line to ten energeon.
I was wondering about that because both of these were accusative.
Yes.
And
both accusative because of the fact that it's an attributed participle. See, just like it functions like an adjective modifying noun, your PC, it's a verbal adjective, you see.
It's coming from the same root.
Yes.
And so it's giving it a very present connotation to this operation of.
Right, exactly. It's almost redundant in a way. It's like those prepositional things, but it's right from the same root. Yeah. And so according to the energy which energizes in me mightily, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, couldn't that whole phrase that caused that thing, energeon, and whole phrase be the object of agonizomenos?
Well, it's just because it is a prepositional phrase. There are times when a prepositional phrase can stand in a position like that, but it's usually with equated verbs or something along those lines where you can't really see it modifying the thing very easily. In other words, this would be an adverbial thing. He's struggling according to something. In other words, the according to is modifying the way he's struggling according to God's working and so forth. In other words, the normal prepositional phrase type of thing. He's not really struggling something. In fact, struggling is probably an intransitive verb anyway. You know, you don't struggle something. And it's not receiving the action of struggling, but it is modifying the struggling by saying it's according to this. Okay? John?
Well, this is more a question. The end do not make.
Mm-hmm.
I took that as being, I put it under MY.
Oh, I see. You made it modifying it in a voice.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I probably would have done it the way you did it there, just have them both modified. Because NMY is kind of talking about the place where this energizing is taking place. And then NDUNAME is talking a little bit more about the mode and so forth, both of them describing the way in which you're being energized. Otherwise, if you have NDUNAME modifying NMY, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had that kind of thing, the in power would have to be in me. I guess the power, according to the power, were you thinking of more of the power in me, according to the power that's in me?
Well, I guess the thing that's a little bit confusing is that the verb itself has got the in it already. It's operating within. The idea.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not. Right. You can see you've got ends all the way.
Yeah.
You got a noun to start with. You've got N in the front of it, and you got a participle, and then you got two prepositional phrases both with N. So it's quite a graphic, emphatic
in
expression.
Power.
Yeah.
In me.
In me, in power. It's in the realm of power. It's in the, it's in me. It's, you know, both are describing the sense of the location where this is taking place.
Okay, the thing is whether or not the power is operating within in the realm of power, or whether the power is in me.
Yeah,
is the point.
Yeah, I know. I think what you have, in order to clarify that, if you wanted to say according to the power which is in me, you probably have a relative pronoun. To make it clear that that was referred back.
Or substantive it maybe with that, just put an article in front of it. The in me.
The in me power, yeah, that'd be another way to do it, sure.
The in power. Yeah. Okay.
This is good because it helps you figure out how would I say this. I don't want to say it that way. It's oftentimes a good way to analyze something. Well, any other questions, Mark?
Yes, I pulled Kai out of the sky and put it under that.
Oh, yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. Because of the fact that it's functioning adverbially here,
yeah.
it's not really conjoining. This sentence to the other, which I also am laboring. And normally translating it, they translate this also. You see, because it's not postpositive, Kai isn't a postpositive word, and so it's not. If this were conjoining you to the previous sentence, the Kai would be out in the front before the H. So because it's kind of splitting up a prepositional phrase here, or right after this a couple of the two words, it would probably be taken adverbially and translated also. So you just drop it on a line under culture there.
Also
labeled. Yeah.
Kai out of the sky.
Yeah, all right. And that's simply because now if this were dad or tat or something like that, it was in a postpositive position, then you probably do it the way you did it. But because it's remember, Kai is a conjunction, but it also functions as an adverb. And it's mainly its position that is from that. Okay, let me take a quick look here and see if we have anything more to say. That's pretty much it.
Can't be any discussion whether Kai is also modified, which or colloquial.
Well, it's usually. Well, I don't think it would really modify which. Which also, the idea is the verbal action, you know, and which also, you know, I'm laboring, and it's kind of modifying that, but it's the action. I think that's the focus. It's not really contrasting the which to something before, but it's the also is the laboring, just nothing before. See, the previous sentence talks about him teaching and admonishing and that type of thing, presenting every man perfect in Christ, which I also am laboring.
Wouldn't tithe then be connected to teaching?
Well, it is connected conceptually. You know, there's no question about that.
You play the whole thing out. You have a line coming down from, say, teaching or whatever the last verb was, and then tithe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely connecting that conceptually, but the only problem is the position. See, before, when you have teaching and these other things, you have the tie right before the verb, and you have it, you know, strung together in a normal conjunctive construction. And then when you start verse 29, you start off with a prepositional phrase with a relative pronoun, which kind of breaks up that continuity, and then you have a tie. So it's still, you know, conceptually, it's still connecting you to that. It's just kind of dealing with where this...
How
intimate it is. I think that's the way to express it. It's kind of really, you know, even when they translate it also, it's also in reference to something.
Yeah.
See. Okay. Any other observations there? I think that's pretty good. As it is, it's just a check. I hope when you're taking notes here, hopefully you do put the final corrected version down. So that when you're studying and so forth and preparing, you know, you've got some, or at least be able to get a copy of Grasmick or something to do some checking and so forth. Because we both have to be having a quiz in the future here, probably in a couple of weeks, on diagramming. And because I'm going to set that up to, I'll give you some examples from scripture to diagram, ones that we haven't had yet. But I'm not going to be looking for the most complicated and bizarre things that I can find. And we'll also, I'm going to try to do a thing where I just ask you about a diagram in particular construction. In other words, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but you know, to know how to, you know, diagram where the object is going and where the subject is going and so forth. And I'll try some kind of method.
About a pattern of diagramming. I mean, it's easier to draw it and explain it. So you've got a sentence, you know, X, you know, something like this. And you have the tie. Why? I mean, it's like you got this, you know, that just goes up into space. Why do you have chi on a shelf up here rather than just, because this is going to be another word up here. Why don't you just, I mean, it seems to me that if it's going to be a logical pattern that we just put chi like this and just float it into space, why does it sit on a shelf when it if it was actually connected to each other and it was a complete thing, it wouldn't be on a shelf.
Yeah,
I wondered about that, where they got that shelf from.
I think you may be doing that just because in most instances you are plunking yourself down in the middle of the context and deciding to diagram something. And you don't really have the other thing before it, before your eyes. If you had that, it might change your view on it. You might connect it anyway. But looking at all of these, even when he does them in order, he just sits the guy on the shelf like that. I think it may have something to do with whether or not the thing that you're connecting it to is a particular, you know, a compound verbal construction or something like that in the previous sentence that was begun, or whether this is just the addition to the whole concept that went before. In other words, this is another statement. It's like in a narrative, like in Hebrew, they start off with a consecutive. This next statement is added to the whole statement that went before. It's not so much that. See, you've got a new subject, new verb, and so forth. If you have the same subject that you had in the previous sentence, and so in effect you have a compound sentence, if the two verses form a compound sentence, then of course you would have a direct connection like that. And in fact, you probably want to ignore your verse divisions and diagram the whole two verses together as one. But if it's a new entity that's just being added to what went before, in other words, one verse, you know, one sentence could be the dog bit the man and I went to the store, you know, and the two sentences are not directly grammatically related, but they are forming a narrative, you know, in one event following another. But you've got a new subject, new verb, and so forth. So the and is really connecting you to the whole sentence that was before. It's not connecting you to necessarily any part of it. But if what you have is a part of the previous sentence structure, either a subordinate clause or another part of a compound subject verb or something like that, then you'd want to have a far more intimate connection. So I'm sure that's thinking about this, what the way you find out that way. If you don't put it on a shelf there, then you're implying that that chiasm is directly connected to some other grammatical unit of similar kind in the previous sentence structure, which really makes you end up with either a compound subject, compound verb, compound object, whatever, and you can't really treat those as two separate verses. You'd have to read them together to get it completed, which is often the case. That does happen. Some of the diagrams here, you know, he's got the two verse numbers out inside, you know, effective, you know, and they're really connected as one entity. You can't really separate them. Okay,
so Kai really isn't acting as a coordinating conjunction at all. It's just like a flag that says something went before what I'm saying now.
Well, yeah, I suppose you could say that. You could call it a coordinating conjunction in the sense of coordinating two completely, two complete thoughts, complete sentences, but it's not really in the sense of a compound sentence or something of that nature. It's more in the sense of a narrative. I suppose we can get into a debate on this. If you really want to get technical, you could take a whole narrative that each sentence begins with that or tie or something and call that a gigantic compound sentence, you know, instead of putting it. But at least customarily in English, we'll start off sentences with and. When we're in a narrative discussion like that.
So more correctly, there should be some kind of dotted brackets or something above chi, then if you really wanted to get because it's not like it's connecting the elements, but it's connecting this phrase to the whole phrase before.
Right, yeah. And they just chose them, he's just chosen by convention just to do this with the shelf up there, just to, you know, to make a standard. They just do avoid some of the problems there in the incumbents of it, I suppose. Because, you know, thinking about, especially in Hebrew narrative, you could almost make a parallel testament, a gigantic compound sentence. Not really, but, you know, just a few gigantic ones. Yeah.
Amen.
You're right. Okay, any other questions there? Good. Well, let's see. What else did we have besides? I think we just had the other. Mark asked about John 13:1.
Act 13:1. It was brought up as a comment that ATR made in word pictures in New Testament. Why did you bring that in?
Yeah, go ahead. Make some comments on that. Did anybody go ahead and try to do that whole thing?
Well, if you can get started, I don't think it's too difficult, but it's the start.
Yeah. If anybody wants to volunteer.
I'll volunteer. I did it, but
he's already had his homework for the day. Oh, go ahead, but we can get started on it. Well, you're putting that on the board, but the Mark can read what you had on.
It's going to probably take both boards because of the math of it.
Yeah, we need some bigger boards. We need boards that are 8 foot high, you know, ceiling, floor to ceiling.
Good start, huh?
Yeah.
Well, bars no good.
Just this way. It's going to be really.
Okay, here's what he said.
all prophets were teachers, but not all teachers were prophets who were forespeakers of God, sometimes forespeakers, like Agabus in 11:28. The double use of Keh here makes three prophets, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, and two teachers, Manian, and Saul. Barnabas heads the list, and Saul comes last. And so he's making a point of the double use of Keh. And saying that there are three prophets, Barnabas, Simeon, and Lucius, and two teachers, Manian, and Saul. And I was wondering if he was justified in making that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And how that's working with the big diagram.
I noticed that when I was going through there seemed to be a split up there. And I don't know if our diagramming, the diagramming methods that we have, the graphic has set up is sufficient to make that kind of a resolution. I think we might have to go beyond that, but I don't know if we could easily assign this to the category of assuming you could make a distinction of those two groups, but I think you can. Question of linking some of them to prophets and the other two to teachers without some additional knowledge.
I didn't.
Would be a problem.
In other words, you did it without additional knowledge.
Is that what you're saying, Glenn?
Well, I did.
In other words, I don't think you can grammatically connect. Let me just look at the word order again here to make sure. I think grammatically you can say, well, maybe there's just, you know, it may very well be true, but to do it grammatically alone, I don't think you'd be able to really. See, another person could say, well, the two latter ones were prophets and the three first ones were teachers, you know. Although they did put a prophetai and didaskaloi in that order, and then and this might be a logical thing, but you would have to, you could probably say, well, we've got two groups here, and since we know have some other data, some other scriptures to identify these, maybe we'd be in the shoes of that.
You're saying then that you don't think what you said then is conclusive?
I don't think it's conclusive, no. I think it's very possible. Because of the fact, you know, I do agree with what with that step and Ty's structure there, because you do have the first three there. You start off with a test, in effect, although it's most positive. And then you have Barnabas, Kai, Simeon, Kai, Lucius, and then you have a cat, and then Mana, Ain, and Salus. And so that seems to be justified. And it very well may be correct from a theological standpoint. I'm just going to look at this again here.
If I get this wrong here, it's because my hand is shot.
But the point is that I don't think you have enough to really connect the first three with prophetai and the second two with the doctoi.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you wanted to do that, you could easily have the, you know, say the prophetai, the first three, and then the doctoi, the next two. And if it was set up that way, then you could easily have that distinction.
So you're saying that, yes, there are two groups, but mm-hmm. whether or not they correspond to prophets
right.
and teachers.
Whether or not they correspond that way grammatically is in question. There's no grammatical proof that they do from the sentence. But there may be maybe a very logical deduction to make. Just because taking the word order and so forth, that kind of thing, grammatically I don't think you couldn't prove it. Okay.
Everybody else can cite me, but they didn't have to do that.
Thank you, Lynn.
Okay, does anybody have any observations or questions here?
Well, when I did it, I was putting Simeon in that position, the one called Niger, same way with Zacchaeus and Herod.
Mm-hmm.
I put those three in that position. There's
description.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about that unit here first. I think that what you need of this columinos is a participle. So hokaluminos would be an attributive participle modifying simian. So I would leave it the way you have it, except make the line straight.
Line straight.
Because it is a participle. Under simian.
Makes sense.
And then the niger you could put in the object position opposite columinos because it's participle, yes. So it was called niger. And by the way, you could put a, you need to put a planet line there because this happens to be one of those verbs that you know, call someone something. It takes a
person
calling and naming and that type of thing. Take the planet line, it's an object complement type of an idea. Yeah. Okay. And this gets a little tricky here. Yes, Eric.
I have. And
I thought, looked at it, I thought to put propheti and didactyloi as the subject, and then have it as he has it, and then put all the names and opposition
to the subject.
Yeah, that's the way I did it too, is I put propheti and didactyloi as a compound subject. See, it's saying there were in Jerusalem prophets and teachers. So what we're saying is the prophets and teachers were in Jerusalem, or in Antioch, you think, in Antioch. And so the way that they, you know, instead of diagramming this, when you talk about somebody being in some place, the in the place is going to be on a standard in the predicate position with aton, and then prophetai and others will be over in the subject position. So, yeah, right, put your line there, put that right. Definitely not one of the easier ones.
I've been wondering about it all summer.
Well, I did. Yeah,
so
put all our heads together. Yeah, and the planet line because
it's always four. Four.
Yeah, and on a standard plane.
And
the okay. Yeah, and you can leave your kata.
This is how much of this is.
Just erase your N and the Achaia and stick that Tata line back up to Aeson again, because you still have that. Because it was worried in, according to, let's see, how did they translate that? There were, in the church, let me see. Yeah, they were in the local congregation. They were down in the local congregation. Is kind of the idea. They were down in the church. In the church, they didn't either get the idea of the local church there. Okay. So
I didn't understand this Usan bit, and
okay.
I was getting really mixed up. I didn't know what to do with it. I had it all on the same line at first. That didn't seem right.
Let me see. We're being.
And I.
Yeah, I didn't put that in here. Yeah, I'm going to figure this out here as well.
Unless you're doing something like this, unless Usan
belongs. Yeah, Usan would be a participle modifying.
It's a participle or it's a past tense?
It looks like a participle here. Accusative participle, what? Forms. No, I'm not sure it's participle. It would be Aeson otherwise.
Usan. Present accusative.
Yeah, present accusative. So that should be.
That would be then something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting to have the kata.
And it was all mixed up, so I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I'm going to look at
that. Would be like that.
According to.
So this doesn't have to be on a standard, does it? Because it's just.
Wouldn't it be kata and then put the Usan on a standard?
Were.
Yeah, it looks like it's the object of that preposition.
Wouldn't it be kata and then Usan on a standard and then an object marker chain equity?
Yeah, according to the being in the church. It's almost the idea that what you're saying. According to the being in the church, then you could,
according to.
Yeah, you put Usan on a
standard. Put Usan on a standard. According to being?
Yeah, I almost have to because it's the object of the preposition there, so it's going to have the function of the substantive. Yeah, and then, well, you put another little object marker there after usan.
Oh, here.
The participle there.
Being.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
the thing that bothers me is that you should have some method of, if you put it on the standard, you can't really quite see that that's a participle. That's not the normal.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to.
Unless you did it this way.
This is a hard one.
Yeah. Unless you did it this way.
I had it easy, I just let the Usan out.
That's all
my problem.
Could you go ahead?
That's a real difficult, the expression is difficult.
Where are they getting, they translate it.
Because it's a participle to.
Okay, I see what's happening here. I see at least why they're translating local congregation. It's in the being church, you know, the present church. I mean, the church that it was being at that time. So, okay, if we do it that way, it was right the way you started out, Glenn.
Okay, so right the way I started out, it's going to be like this.
But then you should have a diagram that moves on down. Well, no, you don't even need the center anymore because that was just a normal bona fide object.
Can't theon,
and then put usan as an adjectival modifier of it. Straight line because it's participle.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, that would work. According to the being conjugation. Okay.
So was that meaning the one that presently existed or? It didn't seem like local, but...
Yeah, I think local may be a gloss, but according to the very one at the time, in other words, the existing congregation there.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it seems that they were there at that time, in that congregation, that time and place, seems to be the point. Okay, I'm sure that's correct there.
Now, this is really messy. I didn't know what to do about Tei Chi, so I put the first one...
You did. Now, that's where you're supposed to put Tei Chi. You can't really do much with them, but, it's, you know, Tei Chi... They stick them together there because it's
a full positive. I thought of doing this. It was sort of like what he was saying, Robertson's comment. I was going to put Tei here, or Tei, or here, I guess. And then get rid of this Tei and get rid of that Tei. And somehow equate all of them together.
Get rid of the first one, but I think you get rid of the second one because it's supposed to be out there. What we need to do there also is on your profetas and didaskalos, you can kind of close the bracket on the other side and put a little line.
Oh, because that's the equator?
Put that in apposition, you know, and then write down a line down here to this. So this is an apposition.
I thought of doing this, too, because of the K's. I thought of doing this. Let me see how that works. well, I don't know where that K would go then. But something, a pattern like this. Maybe I could do it this way. Barnabas, Chi, and then this. It doesn't have to be this way. Barnabas and Luke.
Yeah, you got the first three and then the last two. See, that's the point that Mark is making, is that there seems to be a breakup in the group there. And according to the methods that Blavatnik has established, you know, we don't really have a way of doing that technically. But conceptually, there seems to be a grouping there. Now, as far as the Tei Chi, the first Tei Chi is, in fact, you can see what's happening. You've got a kind of a both-and structure. Remember Tei something, and then, you know, Tei Chi, that type of thing, or even with Chi, if you start off with a Chi, even before you talk about the thing you're talking about, Chi this and Chi that, it's both this and this. And so Tei is both positive, but it has that kind of construction. It looks like what we've got is both the group consisting of the first three and the group consisting of the last two. That's where the structure was. And that's kind of what you're trying to do over there, like the splitting the diagram. It doesn't really follow the method that we've established, but you know, you almost need some new innovation here for this. You know, you almost need to invent something that is kind of separating these two groups. So I think I would agree with the idea of separating those two groups just because of the fact that the use of Tei and Chi helps you because you can kind of switch between the two or these groups and you get a feeling that, you know, because he could have just said Chi all the way through or Tei all the way through. But to split it up and have some group with Chi, other two groups with, you know, and the first three and the second two, each being joined within themselves by Chi, but those two groups being joined by Tei, I think that function separates them. And in the mind of the speaker, they're probably making a distinction in their mind between these groups, just as we might logically do. We might talk about, you know, the elders and the teachers, you know, in the chapel, and you know, both you know, Jack Hicks and Jack Du Bois and Scott Hartley and Mark Dokers and Lionel Peterson, you know, that kind of thing. So I think he's got an argument as far as splitting those, but I don't think it's an ironclad argument in that, having established that the constructions of the chi's and the tes make a distinction between the groups, one then has to establish which group corresponds to prophets and which group corresponds to teachers. And grammatically, if there's anything that was going to connect those, then there could have been grammatically a connection by splitting up prophets and teachers and the wording, you know, putting the first three only in opposition to prophets, the other three only, the other two only in opposition to teachers. That could easily be done just by reading the word order. But I think we almost have to go the way he started out here with, the, you know, just listing the chi's and the tes and so forth. And then, for part of our groupings, we might want to put dotted lines or something like that around and invent some new modes to show that there's a...
You're saying
that
this, the one on the left is superior to the one on the right?
I think so. Just because, in other words, we're going to stick with Grasmick's system. In other words, if we go to the other one on the right, we have to kind of invent a new, kind of a new mode there. I can see what he's doing there. If you split the branch, that might work. Now that I think of it, it might work to do that.
I don't see how it really violates it. Unless you...
No, I guess it really doesn't.
Unless you're saying the graphic would consider chi and tes identical. Equivalent.
Yeah, he probably does. Normally he does. Normally yeah. They just put those, you know, and then it's way from the diagram, but in your context, the more I look at that, the more I like the way he's done that. Because, you see, there's no fundamental problem with splitting a branch like that, putting tes, joining those two groups. If you have the second tes joining the two groups, that's fine. First, put the first tes up like you did up there, the tes chi there, and you'd be fine.
Couldn't you?
Wouldn't violate any system.
Could you put a tes on each line, one going up and one going down? Would that be more graphic? Show that there is the separation? When you first make that first break to separate the groups, could you put a tail on the line going up and the second on the line going down? That would just tie up between the pharmacist and the meal.
Oh, well, it might get you into trouble a little where... Oh, I see. You're thinking about putting two tails on that one bar.
Yeah. That first horizontal shell.
Why don't you try to draw what you thought about
the church? Does he have in Antioch, is that in the right place, or would it be...
I think it should be. In parallel with what he's done before, when you have an equated verb, and that's in the... See, these prophets were in Antioch. That's where the location of them was. It's kind of, you know, I thought about it, I debated with it a little bit, whether you should put in Antioch under Aton as a modifier there, as a prepositional phrase, adverbial modifier. But in looking at the fact that with an equated verb, you're looking for something on the other end. He's not just saying these prophets existed. Mm-hmm. You know, he's saying that they existed in, they were in Antioch. So that puts the in Antioch in that position. That's what it's being equated with, that position.
I had trouble with that because as a verb of being, I thought it can't be better. There were prophets and teachers, like Gwen first had it there. In fact, it's kind of hard to me to see they were being in Athens.
Yeah, I suppose it comes to a convention, I suppose, and too, the way Grasmick sets it up is that way. He says, when you have a prepositional phrase, we've got an example here in Colossians 1:17, says, and he is before all things, and you've got it, autos est in pro fonto, same kind of thing. So,
I thought because the teachers and prophets were in a nominative, they make a...
Well, but the nominative is also in second position, something like that. And so then you have to make a decision as to what's most definite, you know. And unless you've got something else more definite that goes in that position.
Yeah.
course, I think they, you know, they started out, you put an X there, and they indicate they or something like that. They were teachers and prophets. But see, what you're saying then is they were teachers and prophets in Antioch. And it's not really trying to say that, it's just trying to refer to Antioch teachers and prophets. Like making the predication of existence, as it were. It'd almost be interesting to come up with a different kind of diagramming for predication of existence. Like it's almost like Ein and or Yesh in Hebrew, and it's kind of a different mode. You know, this doesn't seem to be all that satisfactory, but it's not all that satisfactory just to put it as an adverb or modifier either, because then you're just stating that they existed.
Was Robinson?
But as far as Dale's point there is concerned, that wouldn't be according to the normal mode, though, for the issue. What you almost have to do, you have to have a tab between those two, and the first tab it would have to go above someplace. And it's probably best to put it with Tekhai, because, you know, just the way you send Bopan, that'll usually come. That's probably not the only thing you can do as far as the system.
There's another complication in that whole Barnabas. It's a relative pronoun, the whole with the accent on it. And where does that fit in with the picture?
Oh, let's see here.
Although
the interlinear translates it as stuff.
Yeah, that's the mind that's good. Now, if it were a relative pronoun, it'd be neuter.
And EBS has the accent on the home.
EBS does too.
Wow.
Anything in the front?
Right.
Because see, then when you continue the series, you've got, you know, Simeon, and then you've got the article. So. That one's really great. That's the First Timothy 3:16. We have an interesting
manuscript variant.
You have a manuscript variant on there?
The whole chat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And they've got N ois. That's what D in the Vulgate has.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, N ois? Ois? Or N which?
Okay. You have that as a relative pronoun and have it neuter singular.
Well, if it's going to turn the Barnabas to the one, you know,
mm-hmm.
one.
Yeah,
but being named Barnabas or called Barnabas.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's like
the idea usual, but it's possible.
The one called Niger. See,
mm-hmm.
it's just the one Barnabas. Kind of
the trouble is that it would be neuter, though, if it's a relative pronoun, it'd be neuter. And the following Holkaluinos is definitely masculine.
Yeah.
You wonder why they do that, because see, the Uxio manuscripts wouldn't have the distinction between the relative pronoun and the other. And that would be far more logical to take it as the article.
Well, some of the insults do carry the accents.
Do,
I don't know how many of them do, but some